Good morning. All right. Good morning, saints. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. What a beautiful day. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Just good to be here. Amen. Amen. Spring's coming. Lent's right around the corner. The Lord is so good to us. We want to welcome you to our service this morning. And we want you to know that Jesus loves you very much. And we want you to know that serve the Lord, worship Him. I was going to say worshiping you in your own way, but maybe I probably shouldn't say that. Just say, I'll say, you worship the Lord as you see fit. Amen? Worship Him as He gives you the worship, the ability to do. And remember this, when you worship the Lord, you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. How many of you know when Lent's coming around? Somebody tell me, when does Lent start? Okay. Thank you. All right. I feel better now. I was just scared to death. Nobody's going to say anything. All right. Amen. Remember, we come going into Lent season, and Lent is a time of reflection, a time of prayer, and it's a time of getting closer to the Lord. So I would certainly use that 40 days time to draw closer to Jesus. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms 33, and if you've heard this before, you may have heard it last night, but I feel like it's worth repeating again. It's Psalms 33 and verses 20 through 22. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice. For we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in You. I hope and pray that your trust is in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to You this morning, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank You for the love that You've shown us, for the mercy that You've given us, for the grace that You've given us. And Lord, we just pray and ask that today You would be with us today. And today would be a banner day for those that may not know You. Those, Lord, who may be on the outside of Ark of Safety. Those who come this morning with issues and problems. May this be a day that those things would be taken away. That they would surrender those things. And they would love You, Lord. And then they would be able to move on and not be bothered by those things. Bless You, Lord. And we give You all the praise and the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand for our opening hymn? Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low.
Swing chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, swing carry on, coming for to carry me home.
Congregation, please be seated.
Good morning. We got a couple birthdays this week. All right, so for today, we've got Sandra Boykins having a birthday. On the 21st, we've got Crystal Grazulis. On the 22nd, Jonathan Neal. And on the 23rd, Cheryl Migosh. All right, so you know what time it is. We're going to sing happy birthday. All right, one, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more. All right, does anybody have any announcements? All right. Okay.
A couple of weeks ago, I inserted in your bulletin was a survey to see how you felt about the newsletter, what you wanted to see in it, suggestions. I have received one so far. You can give them to Jan. She shares beautifully. Or you can give them to the pastor. You can give them to me. Text me. Well, text me, you need to call me, because I don't walk around with my phone in my hand. You can email me. My email address is in our directory. I want your suggestions. I would love to be able to include in the newsletter things that you truly want to see, that you care about, or things that you want to share. If I don't receive any pretty soon, I'm going to assume you like what I'm doing and just keep doing the same thing over and over again. So please get back.
Any other announcements?
I do. I got an announcement. Okay. Just a reminder about upcoming services for the week. Just a reminder. Coins for Lent. Thank you.
Anybody else? All right, Lance. Good morning.
Please pray with me. Lord, we pray for the heart position of humility. Humility in such a way that we do not cheapen our own worth or value within, but that we take the alignment that we are here for a greater purpose than just our own gain. We pray that you will highlight to us what it truly means to live a humble life, and that our own worth be revealed by your light. It is only then that we may truly live in freedom and right standing, for we will hold our own value correctly. Lord, we welcome you to mold and secure our hearts in true humility by your lead. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Lord, that you blessed us here.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Good morning. Our scripture today comes from Luke 18, 9 through 14. The parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord for the people. For the people of the Lord.
Good morning, church. Let us pray. Today we ask for your help to walk humbly with our brothers and sisters. It is all too easy for us to fall prey to our flesh and to walk in arrogance, but pride causes division and we desire peace. Lord, help us to humble ourselves in order that we do not let the lies of the enemy overtake us. Rather, help us to count ourselves as equals with one another. It is then that we will stop attempting to be better than others, and we can love their hearts for the unique person you made them to be. Help us to value one another in this humble spirit so that we may live to the fullest. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our affirmation of faith comes from number 886. And would you please, in honor of God's word, would you please stand? Would you please stand for the affirmation of faith? Number 886. Let us begin. We believe in God, creator of the world and of all people, and in Jesus Christ, incarnate among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We believe, God, help our unbelief. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, human dignity, and community, in every expression of love, justice and reconciliation. Each act of self-giving on behalf in the abundance of God's gifts entrusted to us that all may have enough in all responsible use of the earth resources. Glory be to God. And on earth, peace. We confess our sins, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power, personal, communal, national, and international life, through the search for security by those military and economic forces that threaten existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for all humanity, to struggle freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come, thy kingdom come, is in heaven. Amen. You may be seated. Good morning. It is a blessing to be able to be here and preach this morning. What an opportunity and what a wonderful privilege the Lord has given me to tell you what he wants us to do and to give you his word, to preach his word, and to make sure that we all are on the right path to heaven. Amen? Amen. Our subject this morning is something that God values a lot. He values a lot. And some of us may have the wrong impression about this, but our Lord values this, and this is proven by the fact of the parable that he told about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Now, Jesus speaks a shocking parable to those who are confident in their own righteousness and look down upon others. You see, God values humility, and he is drawn to those who earnestly offer themselves to him. Self-righteousness has no place in the kingdom of God, because God himself is humble, and humility lives at the very heart of the gospel. So, there's some interesting things in these scriptures here that I'd like to talk about here quickly. And the first one is that, note that there are two types of people here. There was a Pharisee and a tax collector. Both of them went to the temple to pray, as were their customs. Now, the Pharisee. Now, the Pharisee, he was a good man. He tithed. He helped the poor. You know, he showed kindness. It looked like he was showing love. He gave a tenth. He fasted. I mean, this guy, he was a good churchgoer. He was a good churchgoer. He did everything right. Everything right. But then there is the tax collector. Now, something about the Pharisees, quick. The Pharisees were well respected in the Jewish community at that time. They were very zealous for the law. And they preached it and they teached it, and they were very serious about it. So people looked up to them. And they commanded a lot of respect, and they walked around with a lot of pride, and unfortunately with a lot of self-righteousness. And then you have the tax collector. Now, by looking at what the Pharisees done, you would probably say, well, the Pharisee's a good guy. But then you look at the tax collector. Here's a person that he was hated by his people. He was a traitor to the Jewish people. He was in cahoots with the Romans. He cheated them out of their goods. He cheated the poor out of their money. He was horrible. And the Jews, they hated him for it. Hated him for it. He would be considered the good guy. But look what Jesus does. He kind of flips everything upside down. Everything. You see, tax collectors, they receive very little sympathy from the people. And so the Pharisee, he looks like a pretty decent human being here. He did everything right, you know. And this tax collector, this guy, he is a snake. He's evil and deceitful, and he deserves justice. It's the tax collector who goes home justified before God, not the Pharisee. How is this going to be? The Pharisee was doing everything right. He tithed and gave his money and he fasted, and the tax collector was doing everything wrong. You see, and the other difference between the tax collector and the Pharisee was this. The tax collector was humble. He was humble. You know, he knew that what he was doing was wrong, and he wanted to make things right. He wanted Jesus to make things right. And he stood afar off, beating his chest, saying, Lord, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. And the Lord saw that and respected that. You see, God values humility because God is humble. Now, I got to thinking, God is humble? Isn't he powerful and mighty, and he can control the weather? This is true. But humility is also part of God's eternal nature. He will always be humble because God does not change. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that he is humble and merciful in my life. because I don't know where I would be if God wasn't humbled. If he gave me what I deserve, I probably wouldn't be standing here right now. So I am so thankful that the Almighty is humble. You see, we see humility both in the life of Jesus and in the teachings of Jesus. And anytime Jesus demonstrates something and he also teaches it, oh, we better take notes, as in this. It's important. In Jesus' life, we see he loved and he served others. And he touched lepers, and in those days he talked with women, which in that day was often forbidden. You see, he ate with sinners and tax collectors. And he even, in Philippians 2:6-7, he even put aside equality with God and came to earth as a servant. So you can see our Lord is very, very humble. Jesus was never found to treat anyone as inferior, unworthy, or untouchable. Listen to what he says in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And he says it right there, folks. I am humble in heart. You see, because God is humble, he's not like the Pharisees. Pharisees is proud and self-righteous, compares himself against others with a sense of moral superiority and arrogance. You see, it's funny, you know. It would seem like the Almighty would be the one that would have this sense of arrogance, since he is perfect, but he isn't. He's not self-righteous. If anyone ever had a qualifications or entitlement to be self-righteous, it would be God. But he doesn't, because the true righteousness he demonstrates was humble, self-giving love over and over and over again. So the self-righteousness of humankind is always a stark contrast to the humble and true righteousness of God. And we must be careful that we do not think like the Pharisees. Now, just to put everything in perspective, to make everything clear, God's not like the tax collector either. He doesn't turn his back on his people. He doesn't take advantage of people. He's not unfaithful, nor is he untrustworthy. He's not greedy, nor self-seeking. But God is humble. And here the tax collector demonstrated enough remorse and humility. God has something to work with. So what does humility look like? Just so we can be on the same page. What does humility look like? Well, for starters, let's eliminate some of the things humility is not. First of all, humility is not negative self-talk. It doesn't do you any good to go around beating yourself up saying how bad you are. That's not what your Heavenly Father wants you to do. He loves you like a child. He is you are his child. And he doesn't want you to be hard on yourself. Trust me, he's going to be hard enough on you himself rather than you have to be that on yourself. So humility is not some negative self-talk, you know. You are God's precious child, and God will always speak to you the way that a loving father speaks to his son or daughter. And we need God to teach us how so we can speak honestly to ourselves, not partially. And secondly, and this is the one that got me, used to get me, humility is not the same thing as shame. Shame is when we think to ourselves, I'm bad, instead of I did something bad. Shame goes to our very core, our identity. You know what shame is, folks? Shame is the voice of the accuser, your accuser in our life. It's not the voice of our Father who has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into his kingdom of the Son he loves. So, something else about humility. Humility involves honest self-talk and self-awareness. You know what, folks? You know how you can get the honest self-talk and get rid of the negative self-talk? Find yourself some Christians, some brothers and sisters that you trust, ones that you don't mind pouring your heart out to, ones that you don't mind confessing and telling them about what you're going through. These will allow you to grow and to get rid of that negative self-talk. Because when you do that, these folks are going to speak life into your life. And they're going to give you feedback that you can use and they're going to help you with your struggles. But when we allow loving and trustworthy people into our lives, the negative self-talk is put into check. And something else, and this is most important, you'll need the voice of the precious Holy Spirit in your life, not the voice of the enemy, who is the accuser. The best way to give ear to the Holy Spirit is by consistently reading Scripture, especially the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. By filling our minds with Scriptures, the Holy Spirit will bring words from those verses to mind when we need. And His words are spirit and life. And we must practice intentional self-awareness. You see, humble people are self-aware, not self-righteous. And in the parable, the tax collector, he knew about his own sinfulness. And the Pharisee was very self-righteous about it, by his lawfulness. The tax collector realized that he was just a small part in a big world. But the Pharisee, he thought he was everything. And the universe revolved around them. And remember this, what Jesus said. He says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. He didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners, but to repentance. And Jesus does not stand in self-righteous judgment of those who are far from him. But instead, he goes and pursues them and calls them to come home. You see, he leaves the 99 sheep to go in search of the one who is lost. And he doesn't quit until he finds them. Now, bring this home. How do we practice humility? How do we get this character in us? What can we do to show this man? One of the things that we can do is we can have a us. In other words, let's practice humility by showing love and kindness to others, and not just the ones that we know, but those that are outside these doors, those who think sometimes that, you know, they're all against me there at Alamo, you know, Christianity is against me. We need to show them that we are for them and not against them. And we show this by going out in this community and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and telling folks that, hey, you know, we don't judge here. We tell others about Christ. Jesus does all the judging. Amen? Instead of judging, what do? We love. We love. And we invite and we love and we want to help folks to get to where we're going. Our main goal as Christians is to live a life like Christ. Our main goal is to be like Jesus. And one of the things that you can do is to be humble. Not shame, but be humble. Humility means saying, Lord, I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. Lord, you're right. Your word is right. Humility is doing the right thing when you know it's time, when you have a chance to do the wrong thing. Humility is saying, hey, God doesn't want me to do it that way. You see, folks, humility is turning it over to the Lord. That's what he wants you to do. And you can't do this being self-righteous. When I first got married, I thought I knew everything. I thought I could do whatever I want and rule and just do whatever. But I couldn't. I found out that I couldn't do that. I had to answer to the Lord for my family. I had to treat my family the right way. I had to treat my family the way the Lord wants me to treat them. Treat my neighbors and my co-workers. We have to be humble, folks. We have to be humble. God values humility. And as I close this morning, I want you to understand that you don't have to do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. You're going to need the Holy Spirit with you to help you, to guide you, to show you. Because sometimes it's very hard to be humble. Amen? lives our life in humility before Christ, not as a doormat, don't get me wrong, but as being humble before Christ, following him, doing the things he wants us to do. And no, it's not going to be easy. No. But you know what? Greater is he that is in you. You see, you have someone inside you, even right now, the precious spirit of Jesus, that is helping you to absorb this message and helping you to understand that to go forward, you need to be humble. We need to be humble. I pray that these words and God's word, that the words of the Bible this morning will enable you to be humble. And going forward, Alamo will be that lighthouse. We will be that bridge. We will be that we will have a us with them mentality rather than an us versus them. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he hold you close to him. May he help you through all your problems and situations. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank you for your precious words that you've taught, given us about humility. We thank you about this parable. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, as we prepare to give the invitation, we ask, Lord, that you would search each heart. Search each heart, Lord. Shine the light of the Holy Spirit on it. And if there's anything there that's not right, we pray that today they'll get rid of it. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. One last thing. If you are humble, if you do what the Lord requires, what did Jesus say? Those that humble themselves will be what? Will be exalted. Exalted. It's interesting. In Jesus' world, if you want to be exalted, you have to be humble. Amen? Amen. God bless you. The invitation is open to anyone who wishes to come, who has something on their heart, who wants prayer, even those who may not know the Lord, those who may stand out of the ark of safety. Today would be a very good day to get things right. Those who want to pray for those that are sick, those who have loved ones they would like to stand and pray for. The altar is open for anyone that wishes to come.
Would you stand for our hymn of invitation? I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his precious daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender.
Let's continue to pray for our country, our first responders, our military personnel here and abroad. Just continue to pray for everybody in this country because we definitely need it. Continue to pray for the people, the survivors of the earthquake in Turkey and Syria, and all the rescuers that are there trying to dig them out of that rubble. So God be with Syria and Turkey. Continued prayers of uplifting and support for Gerda's sister, Emigard. Prayers for David and Lisa Edwards. And for Michelle Bundy, Sandy's granddaughter, Michelle, if y'all, she's has COVID. Virginia Molinoff's daughter, granddaughter, Reagan. Rose Garcia's family, the Jag family, friends of Joni Peterson, Diane Skaggs' daughter, Lisa Spada, and for Dixie Souter's sister Martha went into hospice. So, Lord, hear our prayers for these people and their families. Also, Holly, y'all know Holly, for a co-worker, the Hernandez family, they're asking prayers. So, Lord, hear our prayers for the Hernandez family. Continued prayers of uplifting and healing recovery for Tessie Robinson. Wonderful to see Bonnie and all of her family. God be with them. And also for Frank and Rose as they continue healing from the loss of her brother. For Alice Tyler. And Homer is here, but he was sick earlier this week. But when Homer's here, he just brightens our Sunday class. So. For Janice Walker and James Murphy. For Donna Walker. And Dixie told me this morning that Keith is rebounding and doing very well from his replacement. So, hallelujah. Continued prayers of uplifting and support for Sandy Bundick and the Bundick family. And for Lance Shaw. And Linda told me earlier also that Jim is over his pneumonia and his infection, lung infection. So hallelujah for Jim. Thanks be to God. Continued prayers of uplifting and support for the Bixler family as Elaine continues to get better. Lord, hear our prayers. For Kathy Bedell, Vicki Ballman, continued prayers of support and comfort for Laura Dixon and her family. Prayers for Norma Glenn, is in the hospital, so praise that she recovers. Also, like to ask prayers of healing for my father, Ken. See him here this morning, but anyway, prayers for Kenneth Austin. Also, thank you, David. David asked me, I did. Don't forget the people of East Palestine, Ohio, and the surrounding neighborhood. Going to be a long time for that city to recover, if it does. But anyway, just continue to be lift up prayers for the country, for anyone that you know. God be with all of us. And please continue to be kind, be thankful. The most important things we can do for one another is to be thankful and to be kind. So God bless us all, and y'all enjoy this beautiful Sunday afternoon and all this beautiful week.
Let us prepare for prayer. Oh Lord. Standing by us. We thank you, Lord, for not giving up on us. We thank you, Lord, for your Son, Jesus, our Savior. And help me, Father, there's so many folks that are in the hospital. So many, Lord, that need your touch, your healing this morning. We ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch them. And Lord, we ask that you would help us, Lord. Help us to be the Christian we ought to be. Help us, Lord, to carry this light the way you want us to do it. And help us, Lord, to live our life in humility. Oh, Lord, there are so many that are suffering all over the world, different parts of the country, different tragedies. Oh, Lord, please help them. And please help this country, Lord, as we seem to be in a grip of evil. Oh, Jesus, we know that you are the answer. Help us, Lord, as Christians to carry this light. And Lord, we know that there's going to come a time when we're going to have to go home. And we ask, Lord, that as we work toward that day to go meet you, that, Lord, that you would prepare a place for us like I know you have. Enable us, Lord, to say, to hear those words, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Will make you ruler over many. Now enter into your rest." Oh, thank you, Lord, for that blessed hope. Thank you for Jesus. We ask this in his gracious and mighty name. Amen.
Our closing hymn is "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah."